Thank you, Alvin. Good morning. Well, that's nice. I'd like to start this morning in Romans. It's the introductory part of the book of Romans. For years and years, I always skipped the introductories in the books of the New Testament because I thought that was just a bunch of flowery prose. But then when I got enough sense to start looking at them, they mean something. And especially when I became aware that a lot of these letters and a lot of these epistles were to people that didn't know a thing about Christianity. They were used to centuries and centuries of the Jewish law. And like a lot of things, when a good letter writer starts writing, especially when it's in, subjects that are as deep as in these books, he gives an overview first. And I'm going to read a little bit of this, of Romans, first chapter, and I'm going to start with the first verse. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom ye are also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. If you take a look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there's no introduction like that. They just start into it. Matthew starts with a genealogy because that's the way the Jews started things. Everything had to be a genealogy. But there's a phrase in that, and it's in that last verse that I read that just kind of jumped out at me when I read that. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a whole lot there. And when I got to looking, Paul used that phrase, wishing peace and grace on people, in every one of his epistles except Hebrew, which was to the Hebrews, the Jews. That's the way he started those books or those letters. So then it went through my mind, well, maybe he's doing that in the way we do letters. You know, we'll start off a letter and say, hope all's well with you. You know, just a little personal way of starting a letter. But Peter did it in his letters. And John did it in one of his letters, the second John. And Jude did it. So maybe it was company policy instead of just a nice way of starting a letter. And maybe there's more to those words than we attribute. When you take the words themselves, grace and peace, you can have a field day with the definitions because it all depends on which dictionary you pick up is what it says. But also with those two words can be used many different ways. So what may be your definition of grace in one instant may not apply to another, and the same way with peace. Grace, if you take a look at the way it's used here, I've come to accept, I guess you'd say, the definition of divine influence of the heart. It's hearing the Holy Ghost, that still small voice, and paying attention to it. Because that's where it takes you, is to grace. Peace, in this instant, means prosperity or quietness or well-being, a sense of well-being. It does not mean keeping your peace, which is mean to be silent, or they kept the peace, which is peacemakers. And that's just in the New Testament that those three definitions are. So when they talk about grace and peace being to you, they're wishing grace and peace to you from God and from Jesus Christ. There's a whole lot of things there. There's a whole lot of information in those two words. In today's day and age, how does peace and grace fit into your lives? How do you look at those words, and what do they mean to you, and how do you recognize what's going on in your life in comparison to what those words mean? Are they words that have a superficial meaning and they have a shallow little definition that you can hang on a wall and say this is what it is, or is it something that comes from within here? Because it started up here with a recognition in your mind that this is an influence, or this is a force, this is a direction, this is an instruction, this is a filter by which you look at what happens to you in your life. We've got a pretty complicated world, and it gets more and more violent. I don't believe that's peace and grace. We have people that do a lot of things in this world in the name of God that do not have peace and grace in them. And there's a lot of people that talk about things of God that are ignored that are full of peace and grace. You take the Christian world and you look at all of the lists of doctrines that the different denominations would have and how they apply those things in their lives. And maybe they've replaced spirituality with a bunch of ceremonies and consider themselves religious when they do that, or a bunch of sayings and they consider themselves religious when they do that. But when it comes down to dealing with problems and making decisions, they have no peace and they have no grace. And it's our responsibility to get into these books of ours and to know the difference between peace and grace and no peace and no grace. And it's very well covered. It's very well covered. You can take the Bible and you can start back with that Christ told us that we have to be as a little child or we're not going to heaven. And he says it time and time again in the Bible, and I've talked and talked about that, and I'll probably continue to talk and talk about, if we don't understand what he means by as a little child, and if we don't look at things the way he's telling us to, we're not going to heaven. And it's just that simple. I mean, he makes it that simple. And I've got to throw all my definitions and all my rationalizing and all my perspectives that I have away. When I read these scriptures, I have to throw my interpretation away. And I have to see what they're talking about, not what I want them to talk about. I'm not supposed to be nice and warm and fuzzy and comfortable with the way I rationalize the scriptures. I'm supposed to be as a little child. I'm not supposed to do this emotionally and get you all whipped up into a fervor and then send you out the door and you don't know what to do. And that happens. I'm not supposed to scare you to death and send you out the door and you don't know how to handle it. And I'm not supposed to pat you on the head and send you out the door all nice and complacent with yourselves and not give you anything at all to deal with the emotions and the things in life that you're going to have to handle after I've sent you out the door feeling complacent. The Bible and the Book of Mormon are full of instructions. They're full of examples. They're full of any kind of a circumstance that you want to come up with to be able to have peace and grace in your life. And too many times, we tend to get tunnel vision on something. We tend to grab one aspect of the Scriptures and we run with it. And if we take it to the extreme, then we think we're religious and we're something special in the world of religion, when we've really done damage to ourselves and probably others. Example. In Matthew, I'm going to start right after first with the Sermon on the Mount. Now here's Christ talking to the Jews, and this is the first thing that he preached about to the Jews, the first thing he really preached about when he came to this continent, and it has to do with their personalities and with their egos and with their perceptions and with their emotions and their feelings and the way they look at things. And it has to do with peace and grace. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And it goes on and on for pages and pages in my book. Blessed means happy. Has a lot to do with grace and peace. You're going to have a happy, fruitful, productive life in Christ if you learn what those things say, what they mean, and how they're to function in your life, and then you do them. I'm going to go over to verse 38. I'm going to jump to 38. Verse 38 in the fifth chapter of Matthew. Ye have heard it that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, take away thy coat and let him have thy cloak also. We all know that. That's true. But now I'm going to go over to the 13th chapter of Revelation. Verse 10. I'm going to start with verse 9. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. You can find the same thing. It doesn't say it exactly the same, but it's the same thought in the 9th chapter of Genesis with the 6th verse and in Matthew 26:52. And that's true. And the reason that I say it's true is because it's in the Scriptures and it's been preserved for us down through the ages, and there's really no contradiction between those two passages that I just read. The contradiction is here. Because we want to do one or we want to do the other, we don't want to use one to do the other. It's too easy for us to take a piece of the Scriptures and like it, and it fits our personality, and it fits the circumstance that we're in. So we use that to justify what we want to feel, and then we run with it. And if we run with it long enough, it becomes embedded in stone, And then it's real hard to blow us out of it when something happens counter to that. We do it all the time. I do it. You do it. Instead of taking the scriptures for what they mean, taking all the scriptures for what they mean, and using them to have peace and grace in your life. And you say, well, how, if he that killeth with his sword must be killed with his sword, how can that fit with peace and grace? Well, in the first place, there is nobody in here that has the right to decide that somebody else should be killed. That's bigger than us. I never want to do that. But when that circumstance comes, you have to use the other in making your determination, what I read there in Matthew. That's what you have to do. If you don't, you get tunnel vision, your emotions take over, revenge takes over, and you don't do the will of God. And I'm going to give you an example of what I just read. What I just talked about, it's in the Book of Mormon. This is going to be a lengthy reading. But while I'm reading, I want you to pick out some things. I want you to pick out who had the peace and grace, who was humble enough to do what God wanted him to do, who was not humble enough and used their own wisdom, and the results of both. And I'm going to start on page 7 in the Book of Mormon. It's going to take about 3 or 4 pages maybe here to read this. But you think of what's going on today in today's world, and you can put names on these entities, or you can take these individuals and you can put other names on them. And you can put personalities on them, and you can put on there where the grace and the peace came in, and who vacillated, who changed their minds, and who made the mistakes, and who didn't make the mistakes. Let's read it. Let's start with verse 59. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, returned from speaking with the Lord to the tent of my father. And it came to pass that he spake unto me, saying, Behold, I have dreamed a dream, in which the Lord had commanded me, that thou and thy brethren shall return to Jerusalem. For behold, Laban hath a record of the Jews, and also a genealogy of my forefathers, and they are engraven upon the plates of brass. Wherefore the Lord hath commanded me that thou and thy brother should go into the house of Laban and seek their records and bring them down hither unto the wilderness. And now behold, my brothers murmur, saying, It is a hard thing which I have required of them. Behold, I have not required it of them, but it is a commandment of the Lord. Right there they got it wrong. They were going to shoot the messenger, so to speak. They weren't thinking. They were letting their emotions make their decisions for them, and they got it wrong right off the bat. That's a first little clue there. Therefore, go, my son, and thou shalt be favored of the Lord, because thou hast not murmured. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, said unto my father, I will go and do the things which the Lord hath commanded, for I know that the Lord giveth no commandments unto the children of men, save he shall prepare a way for them, that they may accomplish the thing which he commandeth them. Remember that verse. Remember that verse right there. Because we're going to come back to something that's going to reflect on that verse. And it came to pass that when my father had heard these words, he was exceeding glad, for he knew that I had been blessed of the Lord. And I, Nephi, and my brethren took our journey in the wilderness with our tents to go up to the land of Jerusalem. And it came to pass that when he had come up to the land of Jerusalem, I and my brethren did consult one with another, and we cast lots which of us should go in unto the house of Laban. And it came to pass that the lot fell upon Laban. And Laban went into the house of Laban, and he talked with him as he sat in his house, and he desired of Laban that the records which were engraven upon the plates of brass which contained the genealogy of my father. And behold, it came to pass that Aben was angry, and he thrust him out of his presence. And he would not that he should have the records. Therefore he said unto him, Behold, thou art a robber, and I will slay thee. But Laman fled out of his presence, and told the things which Laban had done unto us. And we began to be exceeding sorrowful, and my brethren were about to return unto my father in the wilderness. Remember verse 65? Circumstances had already changed Nephi's mind. He didn't say they, he said we. Therefore, verse 76, Wherefore let us be faithful in keeping the commandments of the Lord. Wherefore let us go down to the land of our father's inheritance, for behold, he left gold and silver and all manner of riches. And all this he hath done because of the commandments of the Lord, for he, knowing that Jerusalem must be destroyed because of the wickedness of the people, for behold, they have rejected the word of the prophets. They changed their mission. They were no longer deciding to go for the records because they met resistance. So they rationalized that they were going to come back with something. So they went for the gold. That's what they did. Even Nephi. Wherefore, if my father should dwell in the land, after that he hath been commanded to flee out of the land, behold, he would also perish. Wherefore, it must needs that he would flee out of the land. And behold, it is wisdom in God that we should obtain these records, that we might preserve unto our children the language of our fathers, and also that we may preserve unto them the words which have been spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets, which hath been delivered unto them by the Spirit and power of God since the world began, even down into this present time. They took it into their hands. They were using their own logic. They went to what they call Plan 2. Let's see what happens. And it came to pass that after this manner of language did I persuade my brethren that they might be faithful in keeping the commandments of God. And it came to pass that we went down to the land of our inheritance, and we together our gold and our silver and our precious things. And after that we had gathered these things together, we went up again into the house of Laban. And it came to pass that we went in unto Laban and desired him that he would give unto us the records which were engraven upon the plates of brass, for which we would give unto him our gold and our silver and all our precious things. And it came to pass when Laban saw our property and that it was exceeding great, he did lust after it insomuch that he threw us out and sent his servants to slay us that he might obtain our property. Didn't work. You can't do it your way. God's way is complete. God's way is true. They just lost all the fortune because they didn't do it God's way. And it came to pass that we did flee before the servants of Laban, and we were obliged to leave behind our property, and it fell into the hands of Laban. And it came to pass that we fled into the wilderness, and the servants of Laban did not overtake us, and we hid ourselves in the cavity of a rock. And it came to pass that Laman was angry with me and also with my father and also with Lemuel, for he hearkened unto the words of Laman. Therefore Laman and Lemuel did speak many hard words unto us, their younger brothers, and they did smite us even with a rod. And it came to pass that as they smote us with a rod, behold, an angel of the Lord came and stood before them, and he spake unto them, saying, Why do ye smite your younger brother with a rod? Know ye not that the Lord hath chosen him to be a ruler over you, and this because of your iniquities? Behold, thou shalt go up to Jerusalem again, and the Lord shall deliver Laban into your hands. Never gave him anything more than a tactical order. Didn't tell him why, just said go back. Didn't say, I'm going to do this and this and this. He just said go back. I think that's part of faith. And after that, the angel had spoken unto us, he departed. And after that the angel had departed, Laman and Lemuel again began to murmur, saying, How is it possible that the Lord will deliver Laban into our hands? Here we go with human logic and wisdom again. Behold, he is a mighty man, and he can command 50, yea, even he can slay 50. Then why not us? And it came to pass that I spake unto my brethren, saying, Let us go up again into Jerusalem, and let us be faithful in keeping the commandments of the Lord. For behold, he is mightier than all the earth. Then why not mightier than Laban and his 50, yea, even than his tens of thousands? Therefore let us go up, let us be strong, like unto Moses, for he truly spake unto the waters of the Red Sea. And they divided it hither and thither, and our fathers came through out of captivity on dry ground. And the armies of Pharaoh did follow and were drowned in the waters of the Red Sea. Now behold, ye know that this is true, and ye also know that an angel has spoken unto you, wherefore can ye doubt? Let us go up. The Lord is able to deliver us even as our fathers, and destroy Laban even as the Egyptians. Now when I had spoken these words, they were yet wroth, and still did continue to murmur. Nevertheless, did they follow me up until we came without the walls of Jerusalem. And I'm going to stop there. How many times have we read something in the Bible, in the Book of Mormon, but we didn't like it because it was uncomfortable to us or it didn't fit our idea of what was right, so we rejected it? I have done that. You have done that. Even if it's no more than reading it, it not fitting your concept, so you gloss over it and jump on to the next thing. We do that because we're human beings. We do that because we have the emotions of the world. We do that to be politically correct. We do that so we don't be a peculiar person. There's all kinds of reasons we do that. ...99% of them have to do with our emotions and how we perceive ourselves at that particular time and that particular circumstance. And it was by night, and I caused that they should hide themselves without the walls. And after that they had hid themselves, I, Nephi, crept into the city and went forth towards the house of Laban. And I was led by the Spirit, not knowing beforehand the things which I should do. Nevertheless, I went forth, and as I came near into the house of Laban, I beheld a man, and he had fallen to the earth before me, for he was drunken with wine. And when I came to him, I found that it was Laban, and I beheld his sword, and I drew it forth from the sheath thereof, and the hilt thereof was of pure gold, and the workmanship thereof was exceeding fine, and I saw that the blade thereof was of the most precious steel. And it came to pass that I was constrained by the Spirit that I should kill Laban. This is a child of God. This is a humble child of God that follows the commandments of God. But I said in my heart, Never at any time have I shed the blood of a man, and I shrunk that I, and would that I might not slay him. And the Spirit saith unto me again, Behold, the Lord hath delivered him into thy hands. And I also knew that he had sought to take away mine own life, yea, he would not hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, and he had also taken away our property. And it came to pass that the Spirit of the Lord said, that the Spirit said unto me, Slay him, for the Lord hath delivered him into thy hands. Behold, the Lord slayeth the wicked to bring forth his righteous purposes. Is it better that one man should perish than that a nation should dwindle and perish in unbelief? Nephi did not decide to kill Laban. God decided that he should kill Laban, and he did it reluctantly, not self-righteously, not gloriously, not magnificently. He did it reluctantly. But what I read in Matthew, what I read in Revelations, Nephi had to do. Put yourself in Nephi's shoes. Could you do that? That's a hard question for me to answer. Now let me ask you another question. Don't do it to kill someone. Do it to resist any evil in the world. Don't laugh at a dirty joke. Turn off the soap opera. Change channels on your TV in a crowd. Don't participate in things of the world. Now, can you do that? Don't answer gossip. Don't start rumors. Don't hate. When you learn to resist those things and to do the commandments of God, you have the beginning of your peace and your grace. We know what's going on in the world today. When all of this started, or when this phase of it started, was September the 11th, 2001. After the initial shock was over, and the news media began interviewing the leaders of our country, I'm going to say, because there was probably 8 or 10 of these people that I heard this happen with. Invariably, the reporters would say, "We're going after them for retribution. We're going after them for revenge, right?" And every one of our leaders said, "No, that's not why we're going. We're going to get rid of evil." And they can't do it correctly with tunnel vision. When you have tunnel vision, you forget about the other guy. When you have tunnel vision about something, you forget all of the ramifications of what's going to happen when you do what you do. Just like if you start a rumor. Just like if you backbite. Just like if you be greedy. Just like if you think of yourself. We're not a humble country. There was a news crew, or a film crew, went to Russia one time, went to Moscow to do, I don't know whether it was a documentary or some kind of a film. And the director wanted to look at the filming sites to see what the best angles were and the best time of day for the lights, etc. So he asked his handlers, I guess you'd say, his Russian handlers, to take him there, but he wanted to do it to where he wouldn't draw a crowd. So he had him go out and get all Russian dress clothing, you know, Nike or whatever else across your t-shirt or whatever, or a sports cap or a sports coat is American. So he says, you go get Russian stuff because I don't want anybody to know who I am. So they did. And they dressed all his bunch in Russian clothes. And they went out and the people all stood around and watched them. They never said anything. The Russian handler did all the talking. And when they got back, the guy said, "Well, that didn't work." He says, "How did they know that we were Americans?" And the Russian handler says, "Because you were walking around like you weren't afraid." That's us. When you go to Kenya, when you go to Honduras, when you go to Yucatan, when you go to just about any third world country, especially in the world, you have no control over your life. You're afraid. When you lose your job, you die because you starve to death because you have no food. And you can't change that. One of the biggest problems we have as Americans is that we, when we see something wrong, we're going to change it. We're going to fix it. And we're unique in that. When they receive a blessing, it's a blessing from God because they have no other recourse. That's why you hear of all the wonderful things that go on in these third world countries. They don't have the medical help. They don't have the infrastructure. They don't have the personal protection. They don't have the security that you have. They look at us, and if they're aware of these things, they're just amazed at all the blessings we have. And those are the things that they consider blessings. We look at them and say, boy, how spiritual. That's really neat. Look how submissive they are. Look at all of their blessings. Well, I sure wish we could have those kind of blessings. And we ignore our own. You can have grace and peace in this country if you remember that there are people that can't help themselves, and it's your job to help them. There are people that can be blessed by this group if we would come to a functional, communal understanding of what our grace and our peace means and use it in our lives to help others. Instead of choosing up sides because our feelings are hurt. Because of choosing up sides because somebody doesn't completely agree with us and we have to get the best of them. Because we choose up sides because somebody else proves that we're wrong. See, that's the worst thing that can happen to us today here as far as our own egos go, is that we can be proved that we're wrong. Because we're the ones that change everything. We're the ones that are the go-getters. We're the ones that go get the silver and gold and the treasures of our father and take it to Laban. In other words, we're the ones that want to use our own wisdom and our own logic to get the things of the Lord done. Instead of getting in here and finding out what these words say, not what I want them to say, but what they really say, and then doing them. That's how you get the promise of grace and peace. I've read quite a bit. I'm going to read a little bit more. Because if we find out what these books tell us, as an individual and as a group, then this is what's going to happen. Because it's recorded in this Book of Mormon that when they did the words of Christ, nothing varying from what he spoke. In other words, they didn't amend it. They didn't politicize it. They didn't adapt it. They didn't adopt it. They did what he told them to. They understood where they were heading and why they had to get there and what it was going to look like along the way. This is what happened. Fourth book of Nephi. Page 681. And it came to pass that the 34th year passed away, and also the 35th, and behold, the disciples of Jesus had formed a church of Christ in all the lands round about. And as many as did come unto them and did truly repent of their sins, big phrase, they truly changed the way they thought about their lives and what they were doing to themselves and to those around them. That's repenting. After you repent, then you do it. Repent of their sins, were baptized in the name of Jesus, and they did also receive the Holy Ghost, so they would have grace. And it came to pass in the 36th year, the people were all converted unto the Lord upon all the face of the land, both Nephites and Lamanites, and there were no contentions and disputations among them, and every man did deal justly one with another. And they had all things common among them. Therefore, they were not rich and poor, bond and free, but they were all made free and partakers of the heavenly gift. And it came to pass that the 37th year passed away also, and there still continued to be peace in the land. Here's that word again. And there were great and marvelous works wrought by the disciples of Jesus, insomuch that they did heal the sick, so there was still sickness, and raise the dead, so there was still death, and cause the lame to walk, so they still had maiming going on, but for whatever circumstances, you can't heal somebody from being lame if something didn't cause them to be lame. And the blind to receive their sight, and the deaf to hear. So they had sorrow. They had things that beset your life every day to deal with. So they weren't set up on some clinically pure pedestal up here and everything was nice and rosy. They dealt with problems just like you do. And all manner of miracles that they worked among the children and men, and in nothing did they work miracles save it were in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus, they did it His way. Not my way, not your way, His way. And thus did the 38th year pass away, and also the 39th, and the 41st, and the 42nd, yea, even till the 49 years had passed away, and also the 51st, 52nd, and even until 59 years had passed away. And the Lord did prosper them exceedingly in the land, insomuch that they built cities again where there had been cities burned. I'm going to stop there, because that's my point. Those people understood what grace and peace were. Those people understood what it was to be as a little child, because they didn't have the lifestyle that we had. First off, with the great destruction at the time of the resurrection and the crucifixion, they had it all taken away from them. So our life can be a blessing, or our lifestyle can be a curse. And it all pins, or it all revolves on how we take what's in the scriptures and use it in our lives. We can lose everything we have because we want to do it our way, like the brothers or the sons of Lehi lost their father's treasure. Or we can have grace and peace, because we've learned to do it, nothing varying from what Jesus said. And the choice is ours. Thank you.
Thank you, Roger. Turn to hymn number 315. 315. After this service, there will be a luncheon downstairs. Remember your announcements for the week. Take your bulletins with you.